You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
TransLink introduced the U-Pass for students at UBC and SFU back in 2003. The pass immediately made transit popular and significantly increased ridership among students. A graduate student in public policy at SFU got interested in how the U-Pass might contribute to a longer-term shift in the way people used transit, and thus contribute to a more environmentally sound transportation system. Caitlin Cooper decided to study what happened after students with U-Passes graduated. Her study is called Creating a Transit Generation, the Effect of the U-Pass on Lifelong Transit Use. Caitlin Cooper joins me in our studio this morning. Hello, Caitlin.
Hi, Sean.
Now, the U-Pass is a form of deep discount group pass. What's the idea behind that general concept?
So a deep discount group pass is generally a mandatory pass for a group of people. And because it's mandatory, they generally get a significant price decrease. And it's generally unlimited use. So TransLink's only deep discount or group deep discount pass is the U-Pass. And so students receive this mandatory pass, and they pay for it through their student fees. So the rationale behind that is that if you have a pass in your pocket, you're more likely to use it. So that increases transit use.
You say unlimited use. Does that mean, what does that mean exactly?
It means you can take as many trips as you want over the period of time that the pass is good for. So for a student, it's for a semester. So a student receives it in September, and it's good until December. And then if they continue on for the next semester, then they get another one.
I know the SkyTrain is three zones. Can you travel across?
Yeah, you can go anywhere in the Vancouver region.
And you don't need to add fare?
Nope, no add fare. So that's a real benefit for students.
What do we know about the positive effects of these passes at increasing transit ridership as students?
One of the main benefits of the pass is shifting from single occupancy vehicle use to transit. And one of the main reasons why the U-Pass was introduced, at least on the school side, was to decrease the number of cars being driven to the campuses. And what UBC saw was a 14% decrease in single occupancy vehicle trips to the campus and an increase in transit trips by 185%. So there was a significant increase in those transit trips, meaning that UBC required less parking spaces, there were fewer emissions being produced by the students, and they were able to use that space that they would have used for parking spaces for buildings or other things.
And how did you learn about the effects of the U-Pass on students? What kind of research did you do?
I spoke with groups at UBC and SFU. Also, I did a co-op at TransLink, so I was able to speak with TransLink officials. And also, there's other passes in North America that I was able to look at some of the results there, but I was mainly communicating with local representatives.
How did the doing a co-op at TransLink sort of benefit you?
That gave me the interest in doing this study because I was conducting research for them just on fare policy review. And I realized that there's very little information on what happens to students when they graduate after they've had the U-Pass. So I thought, you know, that would make a really great thesis topic. And I received support from TransLink, and it turned out to be a really great study.
What discoveries did you make after looking at the patterns around transit use before and after being in university?
So one of the most significant findings I found was that of the 73% of U-Pass holders who used transit frequently in university, 53% of those people went on to use transit frequently after graduation. So that's a really great maintenance record, because in the general population, only 18% of 25 to 35 year olds use transit on a frequent basis. So there's a really good translation between the UPass and using transit after graduation.
No, but the UPass, as I understand it, is a discount pass. So mm-hmm. what does that mean exactly for students? How much are they paying?
I'm not sure what they're paying this year, but I know last year I paid about $110 per semester.
So that roughly that translates to $25 or something like that?
About that month? Per month. Okay. Yeah, so it's a really significant discount mm-hmm. On the pass. So when you graduate, it's quite a shock to realize how much you have to pay mm-hmm. for a pass mm-hmm. generally.
And in spite of that, many people do get a pass.
Yeah, and what I also found was that because people were enticed to use transit, they made decisions after graduation to live close to transit access points or even just to live where they could walk to their work or cycle. So they made life decisions based on that experience. So that really indicates that land use policies are really important for this generation, where being able to walk to your work, having apartments and just things that are close to different workplaces, and also having living accommodation near transit access points is really important. So it's all that land use mm-hmm. planning that's proven to be important.
Why is this particular age group important to increasing the rideshare for transit?
Well, the university age group is important because that's when behaviors are kind of made for the rest of their adult life. So if people start using a car in university, they're more likely to keep using a car after they graduate. If they are introduced to the transit system when they're young, they'll know the system, they will feel comfortable with it, and they'll just continue using it. So that's why it's really important to get that university age group where they're leaving their parents, so they no longer have access to the family car generally, and then they're on their own, so introducing them to the system is that's really important.
And have your studies of other systems confirmed that?
Well, see, that's the thing, is there's very little research on what happens after graduation. So yes, there are a lot of there's a lot of research data showing that during university, a pass like the UPass has a significant impact on transit use, but not many people know what happens after graduation.
Now, you make some policy recommendations in your thesis. Mm-hmm. What could leverage this embracing of transit during post-secondary study and keep people using the system when they graduate?
Well, I recommended that a graduate UPass extension be implemented, because as a recent graduate, I know that, I'm currently unemployed, so I can't really afford to be paying for transit at the real cost. And most people generally receive low-paying jobs, so it would just be really nice to have a pass that can bridge you from the UPass to an annual pass or something like that. I also argued that perhaps expanding the UPass to other schools may increase the impact of the UPass, so more people can have those benefits.
What about lowering the cost for a lot of people? You know, you mentioned that it's much cheaper than owning a car, but you know, if you're going three zones, it's still how much is it? 130 or something like that?
Yeah, per month.
$120 or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. That's still pretty steep.
Yeah, it is. I suggest in another policy option that perhaps we introduce a region-wide universal pass. Now, I understand that would be really cost prohibitive to start out with, primarily because if everybody received a UPass type thing in the whole region, mm-hmm. TransLink can't support mm-hmm. that demand right now. But if you want to get people on transit, they need to be introduced to the system. So I argued that perhaps people receive a couple days use pass per month for a fee, whether they get that added onto their taxes or car payments or however TransLink decides to get that payment, so that people are like, oh, you know, I have this pass, I might as well go and use it rather than driving my car to the mall or something like that. So that's another way of trying to entice people to get onto transit.
How would that work? That would be attached to a person's...
Well, that's something that would need to be worked out, whether that's by household or individual. It's something that both the provincial government and TransLink would have to work out, because whether it's income taxes or property taxes or however they get that payment, that's how it would have to be attached.
And currently this U-Pass is just for SFU and UBC?
And Langara this year.
And Langara. Mm-hmm. And do you think it's practical to extend that to other colleges like VCC or Kwantlen?
I think it's practical. There would need to be some significant changes to the program, because currently the cost of the U-Pass to students does not take into account the service costs to TransLink, like the expansion costs. So, and really the other programs in the States, they do take those costs into account. So I think in order for TransLink to be able to provide service to the other schools, because that means, you know, increasing the number of bus stops, putting in bus loops, things like that, it's quite expensive to provide the service. Mm-hmm. So those costs would have to be taken into account of the price, and that would increase the price for all students at all participating schools. But I think it's possible. Students just need to be open to the possibility of a slight increase to the price.
I know a lot of those colleges, like VCC, they're expanding their parking, the Broadway campus, they're expanding their parking area. Mm-hmm. It sort of seems to be encouraging people to drive. Mind you, there is a new SkyTrain very mm-hmm. close to there as well. So
Yeah, and you struggle with campuses being far away from transit lines. Do they really benefit the same as, say, UBC and SFU, which are on great transit lines? But it's a matter of the chicken and the egg. Do you provide mm-hmm. a pass and then provide the service, or do you build up the service and then provide the pass? So mm-hmm. it's just a matter of figuring out which comes first.
And at UBC and SFU, they provided the service first, did they not?
There was...
Before the pass.
There was service before the pass, and then they introduced the pass and increased the service at kind of the same time, and they've been increasing it ever since to try to meet the demand.
Mm-hmm. Now, your study focuses on university students. What about and people who just graduated from university, what about non-university students, people, you know, in their first year of workers starting some company? Do you have any ideas how they might be encouraged to...
It's harder to implement a mandatory pass amongst people who aren't part of a solid community, but there is the employer pass, which is available to many employees in the region. It's not as a significant discount, but employers can supplement that by either providing a tax incentive or a benefit to their employees. But like I said, it's harder to force people to pay for something mm-hmm. and if they're not in a closed environment like a university. So I argue that if you're going to implement a universal pass, it has to be the entire region.
Thanks for coming in and talking with us
today,
Caitlin. I've been speaking with Caitlin Cooper. Her study is called Creating a Transit Generation, the Effect of the U-Pass on Lifelong Transit Use. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio 102.7 FM.